This is our fourth class.
I think in the fourth class, we want to bring ourselves to a place where we're ready to rest on the spirit rather than on the mind. And you would start out with the idea, today I'm going to try to live a little differently. I mean that seriously. I'm going to live a little differently today. I'm not going out like I usually do in the form that I do. Me and those think I'm the same, but I'm not. And if I see people the same, something is wrong. I am different, and I am trying to be different. And I've got to make the effort, even though I do it in slow stages. I don't know how different I will be today, but I'll be a little different today than I was yesterday. Maybe no one will notice, but I will. When I open my door, I will be already deeply, closely associated with my own spiritual integrity. I will be the walking spirit. Nobody will know I am different. My own relatives wouldn't know I am different. And I'm not about to tell anyone I'm different, but I am. And I will walk through this world today, and I will be listening from a different point of view. I'll be reacting from a different point of view. The things around me won't disturb me as much. The sights will be familiar, but I'll see them somewhat differently. And I'm making the effort to do that, not just going out to be another human being today. Because today, I'm going to develop my spiritual selfhood a little more than yesterday. I'm going to do that each day. I'll begin to act from a spiritual point of view rather than a material point of view. I mean this because it is necessary to specifically take that in your consciousness. It's like walking on the waters. You've got to test yourself to see that today you're aware, right from the start of the day. Let others come to you and be as they are. Let them react to you as you are. But maintain this as far as possible. Your name as you walk through the day will be unknown to anyone you see. You'll be Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so to them. To yourself, you'll be I am. I'm urging you to do this because until you do it, you won't derive the full benefit of your spiritual identity. You've got to act out who you are. Consciously. So if you're a lawyer, you're a very different kind of a lawyer. You're looking at everything with new eyes. If you're a scientist, you're a different kind of a scientist. New eyes. If you're a school teacher and you teach the young grades, you're looking at things with different eyes. There must be a change in your type of life. You've got to stand for the Spirit. There's a different kind of integrity in the Spirit. In humanhood, there are good people and bad people. And the good ones can be very good. They can have the highest degree of integrity. But there's a place where their integrity cannot express because it's human integrity. You've got to rise to the place where spiritual integrity is yours. You've got to be true to who you are. In spirit, we cannot look at anyone, with human judgment. Be sure to be very careful of this. It's important to look at everyone. The criminal, the thief, the doctor, the lawyer, the Indian chief. You have to look at all with spiritual integrity. You have to recognize in all their spiritual life. You have to become aware that this is spiritual life. Though it knows not, I know. And you have to come away with the feeling that you have associated with this spiritual life of one who is walking in a material consciousness. Now you're on your own sense of integrity. And it's a funny word. It doesn't mean the same in spirit. It's a higher type of integrity. To be true to the spirit is different than being true to the moral rules of humanity. The spirit sees things that a person would see wrong, and the spirit sees them a certain way. You've got to see the Spirit in everyone you are associating with. And you've got to be the Spirit. Don't think these words are taken lightly. The purpose of them is to not let you deviate from spiritual life. You must always be in the Spirit of God. Gradually, you'll find it's a lot easier to live as a spiritual being than you had thought it would be. We want to walk now, today, from this instant on, in our spiritual self. And it's going to be very hard. You'll go outside of yourself into your human self 10 times out of 11. But you're going to keep catching yourself and saying, wait, that's not me. I'm acting humanly. I don't even know that person out there. I'm a human out there. Where did the spirit develop humanhood? Trying to stay within the bounds of spirithood, out of illusion. And wherever you find this illusion cropping up, something that makes you think and react and be human, catch yourself. Please work at it. John, in the Bible, gave us the great revelation. Then he settled down to living among humans. But he was not. He brought with him everywhere he went the knowledge that I am dealing with spiritual universe. And years later, he wrote those little gospels John 1, John 2, John 3, which were, in a sense, far ahead of the Gospels that were written in an earlier day by men. And he phrased things in them in such a way that you feel they are very close to you, and that a friend, an elderly father, someone who is capable of loving you and your neighbor who is a lower consciousness, he can love everyone because he sees through who they are. I want to read you John 1. He says the things that can only be said by a man who has lived a full spiritual life, still teaching, still bringing to his students the glory of God in a certain way. John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and I might put the word spiritual in there because the eyes of John were spiritual. He has heard with his spiritual ear. He has seen with his spiritual eye. And he has seen things only that you see in the spirit. Things that can't be seen in the flesh. Which we have looked upon. And our hands have handled. That tells you that the flesh of spirit can be felt by one in spirit. The flesh of spirit is different than the flesh of humans. Spiritual flesh. The Word was made flesh. John has felt that. You don't know what it feels like. Most people don't know what it feels like to feel spiritual flesh. But John does, and John has felt it. The Word of life. The Word of life. We're coming to the central source of all life. Now John is going to tell us how to look at it, how to see it, how to appreciate what it is. When I look at you and you look at me, we would like to go to the Word of flesh. We would like to pierce the veil of illusion. And we will come closer to it if we are in the practice of trying to feel the presence of the Spirit of God all around us. It isn't just in me or in a person. It's all around us. There isn't an inch of this universe that isn't the Spirit of God. So it's not far from us. How can we become aware of it? For the life was manifested. Life manifest. Somehow, he was aware of a life that was manifested. He wasn't talking about our human lives. But through the illusion of human life, life was manifested. And John had been close to it. And we have seen it. He uses the word we, he means I. I have seen it. Would you not like to associate with someone who has seen the word of life? How different his vision would be. I have seen life. And I bear witness and show unto you that eternal life. John shows us an eternal life. That's all we care about. Truly inside, that's all we care about. Eternal life. But it's not a word. It's a life. It's real. It's living. It's universal. It's everywhere. We're walking through that eternal life. We're not walking in a physical atmosphere. But are we aware of it? He's going to show us. Which was with the Father. And was manifested unto us. A different kind of life was manifested. An incredible life. Something we should be yearning to be part of. Because it is the life that we have. It is a life that cannot come through our senses. We know nothing about that life through our senses. This is eternal life. Eternal. Make a note of that. That's the life that John wants to show us, that we become familiar with it, and that we understand it. Because that's our life, eternal. It's the only kind of life that is real life. We want to understand it. We want to feel the difference between it and another kind of life, which is called human life. John is capable of bringing it to us as he was before in his youth when he brought us the revelation when Jesus turned to him because Jesus saw him not as John, a human being, but as John, the Spirit. The first man that Jesus left in this earth to carry his message to the public. Because this man was the invisible Christ too. John Christ, Jesus Christ. You couldn't leave that message in the hands of a human being. It had to be in the hands of the Christ. And this John is still on this earth writing this gospel, saying things to men about the life that I have seen and that I have heard, that I have felt, that I have touched, that I am, and that you are. This is not about someone else's life. This is about your life. Please know that it is about you. Every word that John speaks is about your life. You may not know it's your life. You may think he's talking about a life that was. That life is not a was life, it's a now life. Every degree of spiritual awareness that was that life is in you now. You have the complete Christ life, not in degrees, because there are no degrees. You have the life, or you're living in an illusion. And you can judge where you are, because you are aware of the life of Christ in you. That will be your illumination. And when you feel the life in you, it's like someone else is there. Someone wonderful. Someone not occupying a chair. Someone who isn't 5'8". Someone who doesn't weigh 143 pounds. The life of Christ Jesus, I am. And someday, as you say this, you will shiver with the knowledge that I have come to feel who I am. It won't go away. It is you. It will always be you. Every individual will be you, Christ Jesus, Christ you. You will find that you are that Christ, and you will love the universe, because it won't be the universe that we see today. It will be God's universe. The minute you become the Christ, you see through the Christ vision. You won't be looking out at cars speeding on the highway, people traveling to jobs, people going through their precious work, which is learning how to bring Christ into their work, how to lift themselves to the level where they see a perfect universe through perfect eyes. You bring all of this to you in your day, and you either fail or you succeed, or in a way you partially succeed. You sit down at your desk in the morning, you think, here I am, Mary Jones, O. William Smith. What am I? Who's moving this pencil? Who's reading this text? Who's writing this note? Slow down. Think. Before you get to that office, think who you are. Think of the responsibility you bear. Get it into your work. My God, I'm the Christ. You can shiver with delight. You can hardly write on the paper, but you've got to get that feeling into your life and then into your work. And your work changes. It isn't the same work at all. I was given certain work to do, and I do it, and suddenly I become a new person, a new self. And the Christ that I am is the Christ who gave me the work to do, and the Christ that I'm distributing it to. And I begin to see my own infinite network around me. I'm a wonderful being. I'm part of everything I do, as far as it goes. And as far as my work goes, it's going all over the country. It's going all over the world. It's under my protection without my effort. As long as I know whose work it is. And if I'm writing something that isn't true, I'll feel it. I'll feel the reality or the illusion of what I do. I think you will come to a place where as you do things, you will say, this isn't real, or this will be real, or this is real. And you will find that you're putting spirit, true awareness, into more of your day than you ever dreamed that you would. People will notice the difference in you. And you will notice the difference in you, and you will notice the difference in people. We can get so lifted that you can feel I can walk into the hospital and raise the dead right there. My presence. I will see nothing but the Christ that I am, everywhere. What is the Christ doing lying in bed? Do you see how a change in you makes a change in the world around you? You illuminate everything that comes in contact with you. And you're not satisfied until that is the case. Because above all, your responsibility is to who you are. To be the one light. John is trying to light the light in us. He's an old man now, in physical age, as old men appear to be. And here he is, still telling us truth in the simplest possible way. John never sits down like a philosopher and writes these words that you don't understand. He writes so simply, it just flows from him. It tells you exactly what he wants to tell you. He doesn't want these words that are giants that make you scratch your head and say, what does he mean? They're all one, two syllables. He never stretches far. But he's bringing basic truth right to your heart. I think some of us will find that it rubs off. We find ourselves doing things without pretense, just simply. And people say, yes, they take it simply, but then they begin to feel there's a depth to this simplicity. How do you manage to say in six words what a philosopher takes 25 words to say? Or an English teacher takes more time? Or a student? All people tend to say things a little differently, but no one cuts it down to just what it is with the absolute clarity of John or the spirit of John. In any field of endeavor, you can bring these qualities of the spirit. It's humdrum work, perhaps, until the spirit enters in. Then it's transformed, just as you are being transformed. The transformation is very subtle. I don't know why I see in this sheaf of work I've got to do a new light. I can perform that which it calls for with a new central focus so that when I lay it on my boss's desk. He looks at it. He says, this hits it right on the head. I don't know what it is, but it's a little different than you presented things to me before. Somehow you got right to it. You made it clear. And you know that your work has been well formed. The clarity is there. It's amazing how much you can do in the business world to put spirit into it. Because spirit is in that room. Spirit is in that man and woman. Spirit is everywhere you go. Even on a crowded subway train. Even in a taxi. Doesn't matter where you go. The spirit is there, and the proof of it is that wherever you go, you are. Maybe 5% of you is working, and the other 95% is a human being, but there you are, spirit. And someday it'll be 10%. Someday it'll be 100%. But people are aware of these subtle changes. Because the spirit of you brings the spirit of them. In operation. Never despair for this world. It looks horrible at times. There's always somebody fighting with somebody else. There's always somebody who doesn't have something, who wants something. He looks pretty miserable to the human eye. But when you realize that nothing has happened to the presence of my spirit is still in the world. My spirit is the underlying reality of the universe. You'll realize that no matter how it looks, that's today. You go into John or one of the spiritual lights of the Bible and let that light into you and out through you. You will change that picture all the time. Sometimes out of it comes momentous things. The nice part about it is you don't even know what's going to come. You just know it's all spirit. And spirit never makes mistakes. And I'm resting in the knowledge that my spirit cannot make a mistake. If there's a dilemma facing you, how are you going to solve it? Through arithmetic, through logic, through this, through that, through other things. And it's all going to be tentative. It's never going to be definitive until you look at it through spiritual eyes. You find answers you didn't know are there. And would you please learn how to do this, because your future, your present, your past, all in one, become the living, invisible spirit acting out God's point of view in everything you do. I know that if a day starts and a problem is there, and every one of us has them, whatever it might be the office, it might be the home, it might be something else. We don't have to solve those things. We don't have to use our brain, sit down and figure it out. We sit still. We don't have to solve it consciously. We simply sit still. Something flows in us that we're not aware of. Something that has a tremendous capacity. Something that is in me that I'm not aware of. I don't know what it is. But it's working on my problem. In the sense that it is going to present in the outer world the truth of what I am mentally striving to do. And it may take a while. Maybe it takes 2 hours. Something that I might have taken a couple of months with. But somehow this invisible something, it cracks things open. We don't know how. It looks at its problem. It says, oh, another human problem. They have so many. And it just sits there. The computer is going. I mean, it's an instant computer. It's an incredible computer. Just irons out. There I've seen now what I didn't see before, but it goes beyond. Takes me into what I call tomorrow, and I see it there. Somehow, the only thing that works with the precision that the human mind would admire, if it were capable of it, is a silent spirit without intervention of other forces. Its silence feeds it what it has to know. A whole different perspective comes out. You don't know what the thoughts were because seemingly there were no thoughts. But the problem isn't viewed the same way, whatever the problem is. It even can bypass the problem in solving it. And it lays out a different focus, a different solution, and just do it this way. And you wonder, what do I have in me? This great mathematician, this philosopher, this seeming Christ, who solved this problem for me? But it's clearer. I know what I'm to do. I know who, where, when, and how. Every detail of it slowly fashions itself. You find your hands moving automatically, mechanically, in a way you didn't plan. This is what you do. When you let your mind out of the picture and go into this area which we identify as the spirit. We let the stuff of life come forth. The stuff of life has no mathematical problem. It has no problem with a fellow worker. All of the problems that we have, they're not in the spirit. They're outside in the world we have created, but in the spirit there's no problem. There's no one employed. There's no one threatened with shortages. No one threatened with rental problems. No one threatened with disease, operations. No one threatened with the possibility that I won't have tomorrow what my boss wanted me to have. The spirit is the miracle worker. Spirit lets you solve the problem without knowing how you solved it. And I know that some of you have tried this have a problem. Well, my spirit has no problem. I've never heard of one. Well, then let your spirit handle it. I will if you do not interfere. If you let your spirit do the work instead of you, there'll be no scars. Nothing will be disfigured. Nothing out of joint. Spirit will present your case the way it should be presented. The first time this happens, you're aghast. I don't see how it worked. I didn't see any hands doing these things. How does spirit know to do that artwork that way? I didn't know. I didn't know what I was going to do or how. Spirit painted that picture. How does spirit write that music that way? I'm tongue-tied. I don't even know it, how to do that. But Spirit said, I will do it, relax. My just relaxing into Spirit, I found new insight, new energy, new degrees of harmony. Spirit is always your ace in the hole. But some people don't know how to let spirit be their ace. They clutter the field with their own mental visions. Then they ask spirit, well, now that I've cluttered it up, would you please unscramble it? How about giving the job to your spirit? It's not a separate self. Your spirit. Let that be the central ingredient of what you do it from, to work with your spirit the way you have to do it, and let your silence, let the spirit do what it has to do. Then you can come forth and take it, present it, take credit, and marvel at the ingenuity. Do you get the point that there is something in you that you can let do the work instead of trying to tell it how to do it? If you will relax and trust it, give your silence to it, it will perform for you if you have made your contact with the Spirit. That's why it's so important to establish spiritual identity. Now, John is establishing spiritual identity. I have felt it. I have seen it. I know it's here. I want you to feel it, to know it's here, to see it, to know it's here. And as Christ taught us through Jesus, each one can have a spiritual awakening. Every physical illness and mental illness that he encountered had a spiritual awakening. He lifted that individual to the point where something happened in him. No doctors to knit his bones. No contact with anybody. No pharmacy in the corner drugstore serving him what he needed. Spirit lifted each individual that was healed in the Bible. I don't know, maybe there's thousands. And each one received something, not over the counter, not that Jesus handed each one something, try this, try that. He didn't even make contact. Imagine. The supreme healer in the world did not make physical contact with a single person that he healed. Can you imagine that? He did none of these things. He showed us what spiritual healing involves. It involves letting the Spirit do it as you stand in the knowledge that Spirit is present. So I'm suggesting we make these experiments ourselves. Don't expect to say, be thou healed, and the rose begins to bloom. But how about knowing that if Spirit were present knowingly, there would be a healing of some kind? And bring that spiritual knowledge, just the knowledge. You don't have to touch the patient. You don't have to touch the business. You don't have to touch the inventor. You don't have to touch the whole orchestra. You don't have to touch anything. Bring the knowledge of Spirit where you are. Maybe you're a composer. The knowledge of Spirit where you are will give you more originality and more scope in all that you do. Right here where I am, I'm not overlooking the fact that right here where I am is the Spirit of God. It transforms. It does the impossible. It revives what isn't. It never dies. Never. What a substance. And your knowledge of its presence brings it to work on whatever is present with you. We have the capacity to make all things new. All things new. Oh, but he's dead now. What can you do for him? Well, he's not dead now. He will rise in a new body with my Spirit. And you will see that in some way. The things he didn't do before, he does now, because now my Spirit is there consciously. Maybe the child is too. My Spirit can be there consciously. The criminal comes back. What is this difference in him? We don't know he's a criminal or he was a criminal. What is this extreme quality that is in him? Just the Spirit. That's everything. That Spirit is in all of us. It's priceless, of course. There's no price you can put on it. When it just touches you, it transforms you. And now each one of us should be working for our transformation through spirit, so that what I am is made like the Father. Every quality of the Father perfection of the Father in all things. I'm not centered on me. Don't dwell with that person, because that person is not you. Don't center on me. Center on my spirit. Weigh it so that you know the difference between me and my spirit. It won't help if you are working to improve me. That me will die. That me is temporary. But work on my spirit. You'll find that your spirit will only raise that which will live. My spirit is all there is of me. And I feel it not, I see it not, I touch it not, I'm not aware of it. Because I haven't worked on the knowledge of it. Try to live in your spirit. Find the way. Find the way to live and experience your spirit. You'll be surprised, you look across the world. So many opportunities are there, and yet very few people are aware of my spiritual self. In a moment that you are aware of your spiritual self, the probabilities are that you'll be aware of your spiritual self forever. Give it a try, because the odds are for you. You can succeed in a million things. You can hit more home runs. You can do so many good things. It has nothing to do with your spirit. But one touch of your spirit, felt by you, is a world shattered, and the universe of God comes forth. Work for your spirit. Give it freedom. Tell it to work. Tell it you've got your eyes on it. You're giving everything you know that your spirit be free, that it expresses. Because your spirit will do things that are not imitation. I hope you understand that 20 minutes in the spirit is worth a lifetime in everything else. I don't care who you are, what you are, what you're succeeding at. 20 minutes in the spirit will change your life. And you just have to work at finding your spirit. It's worth whatever you do. You say, where is my spirit? It's got to be where I am, doesn't it? Oh, it is here, isn't it? I've got to find it. How can I dwell in my spirit? Maybe John will tell us, I don't know, but he's making a point. This is what I have seen, this is what I have felt. I don't know what's in the rest of his chapter, But he's making the point for us right here. This is about spirit now. It's all I've got to talk about. Because that's all there is. There's nothing else. You're living in anything else, you're just wasting your time. What you don't have in your life, the spirit, if you don't have it, that is the thing that you have to have in order to live eternally. I'm talking to the eternal spirit. Maybe a human concept here and there is listening. But not for long, because all I talk about is the human self as against the permanent spirit. You'll get tired of hearing me talk about spirit. You'll have to change. You'll have to find your spirit. You'll have to find your reality.